Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Chill. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. 2 hours more of The Big Show, as it is The Usual Suspects with Nick, Barry, and Joel right here live at ESPN 97.5 as we continue to move on. Bill O'Brien has just taken the podium to speak about his Houston Texans. We know that should be colorful and vibrant and full of long-winded quotes.
Well, I'm sure it'll last longer than the Tom Savage post-game presser.
Did you see that yesterday?
3 seconds.
Yeah.
So we good? And then he walks out.
Because I guess no media was in there.
Good.
Good. Great.
He's like, good, great.
And you could see it. He was already, it was like almost relieved because he knew he didn't want to take it anyway, but he walked in. There was no media in there. He's like, okay, I'm out.
Well, I mean, I was following, I think, Aaron Wilson and actually your buddy Paul Gallant, and he was texting people like what happened. And I guess there was like some sort of miscommunication with the PR. Like usually they're like, I've never had that issue at NRG. They're usually really good about letting you know who's going to the podium, the coach or Tom Savage. Or
one of the national writers,
or if they're going to be in the locker room,
said that. One of the national writers said they normally walk into the locker room where all the media is and says, okay, quarterback's going to be at the podium or something, just to give you a heads up. And supposedly last night, no one gave anybody a heads up.
Yeah. And Eric Edholm made a good point. Sometimes the locker room is like really close to the podium. So if you don't give a good heads up, none of the media members will know, and they'll just be at the podium.
You might be right. It was Eric Edholm, I think, that was also explaining that they normally give you a heads up that the, you know, so-and-so is going to the podium.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Apparently, though, he was really cool about it afterwards. Like, he went to the locker room, and he was really open with the media. Like, that would kind of bother me, but
guys, John McClain,
the game probably bothered him more.
He caught him at his locker, and he was very honest, and he admitted it was on him.
Well, there's no – all of that, I get. I mean, but yeah, there's no getting around it's on you. You're the one that threw 2 interceptions and fumbled. Yeah, it's on you. That's obvious it's on you. I mean
– am I in the minority?
I don't want to hear that.
He didn't play that bad.
Yeah, you are.
Really?
Yeah.
First drive right off the bat was good. So it was like a teaser. So everybody had, I don't know if I can say that or not, Nick, so I'm not going to say it, but everybody had a feel good like this was going to be a great game.
Say it. Just say it.
Blue.
Huh?
Everybody got blue balls after the first drive.
Yeah, because you can say blue balls.
They were like, hey, I mean, this could be a really good Monday Night Football game, and the Texans could do really well. And then it was just like, it was kind of like a battle of attrition. Both teams were just kind of like, blah, until the fake punt. But then, you know, they weren't out of it. They were in it. They were within a touchdown of it. They kept, and I get it. The last interception was awful. And right after Gruden started singing his praises, the first interception was awful.
And it's not just the last interception on a chance to go down and tie the game. The first interception led to a touchdown.
Yep.
And the fake punt led to a score. So they're bad, you know, defensively and special teams bad for giving up that first score, because essentially you put your defense behind. You had forced a punt and you didn't cover it well. And so that's on them for that first Baltimore touchdown. But that second one was a direct result of the turnover. And then the last one cost you 7 points. So, yeah, Tom Savage is directly responsible for a 14-point swing in the game.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, it wasn't as bad. I guess this is bad because you're trying to grasp for something that's a positive, but at least he isn't as bad. He wasn't as bad as he's been in the past, but yet still.
It made you think, man, you know what? If they could go down, even despite, you know, with the one interception that he did have and it costing him a touchdown and the fumble, he ended the game 22 of 37 for 252 yards. So you might look at that and go, that's not bad.
He's the first quarterback all year to go over 250 yards passing against the Ravens.
Barry. By 2 yards.
Well,
but then
two
interceptions, the 2 sacks for 15 yards, the fumble, he ended up with a 31 QBR.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. Not good at all. 57.5. When you look at it, I mean, Flacco didn't play great. He ended up with a 33, but his rating was a 72.5.
I warned you guys how bad Baltimore is offensively. That's really bad. That guy, talk about a guy that's fallen from grace in a hurry. He looks terrible. I will say this, though. Those two running backs, you might not know their name, but you know that they got game. Both Alex those Collins guys are quick. Yeah. They can get around to the edge. They can do some things. But, yeah, I don't think everybody's – Gruden's trying to get everybody on this bandwagon that Baltimore could shake it up and do – I will say this. If they're not – if they don't overpay, which I'm sure they're going to probably have to keep Suggs, someone's going to – that guy is – you know where he ends up? New England. He's the kind of guy, if the Ravens don't want him, that he's just going to go somewhere where he can – somewhere where he can win – and he'll play. But that dude has got a lot left in the tank. His motor was running high all night long. He was all over Savage in the backfield. And he's 15 years deep in the league. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's not bad.
No.
Not bad at all.
And where are you guys on the Clowney thing where now Gruden thinks he'll be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league next year?
I think Gruden gets a little outside of himself. I think he likes to just, this is the guy. I mean, we've talked about the fact that he'll go on there. This is the best running back.
Best punter, and it was the Kansas City punter that no one knows his name.
You'll be watching the Browns. He'll be like, Isaiah Crowell, because Crowell will score a touchdown. That's the best running back in the NFL right there. It's like, what?
You did a little Madden at the end of that.
Did I? Boom.
Right there. Boom.
By the way, can we just, since you brought up Madden, can we just all agree that Chris Collinsworth is trying to be John Madden?
I don't know.
I've brought this up before.
Yeah, you have.
I really want you to listen the next time that he calls the game because he's doing the, there's a guy that,
a guy when he runs, he actually goes faster.
He's
boom, right
trying
there.
To be John Madden. It's sickening.
There's Brett Favre and then there's Brett Favre and Brett Favre.
I don't want to get off track.
Well, Tony Romo's been doing that too. He started doing all the booms and the sound effects and all that. But there's a lot of people that just flat out don't like Chris Collinsworth the way I don't like Joe Buck.
That's true. And yeah. I don't mind Chris Collinsworth. I don't mind him calling games. I do mind him using Maddenisms.
I guess I'll have to pay
more
attention.
In the phrases that Madden did.
Who even played Sunday night? I wasn't even paying attention.
I don't know. I don't know what the game that was.
Yeah, next week I'll pay more attention.
It was the Steelers and some scrubs. I don't know who it was.
I guess that's why I wasn't some too engaged no-name in it. But I'll pay more
Hundley
attention.
Hundley
led. Collinsworth.
I don't know. Midwest.
Don't swear at me like that.
Okay.
If you bring up that name, it's like a cuss word.
Hundley.
Yeah, don't do that.
A couple more texts because I know we're about to go to break. I feel like Justin might be related to Kurt Lowe.
Wow.
That is fantastic. That is a fantastic text. I once made a Hitler joke in front of a Polish chick. Sometimes players mess up. That was from Seraphim. Yeah, that's not that. You're not going to get in the panties by doing that, Seraphim. That's not smart.
Wow.
I won the Jacksonville trip. I don't know who that is, but congratulations.
Congratulations. That's a great trip.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to go watch the Texans get their ass beat in Jacksonville, right?
Nick's available if you need a date.
Wow, Nick, he just pawned you off.
Not like
to,
a date, but Nick, if the dude, whoever won the Jacksonville trip said, you want to go, Nick, I want to take you, you'd go, right?
Go where now? Say again?
To the Jacksonville trip that the listener
won. So
we got
a
text that said, I won the Jacksonville trip, so congratulations. So if he like called the show and was like, hey, Nick, you free that weekend? You want to fly out there with me, buddy?
Oh, a dude, just like that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a dude or a female, but I just said if they're alone and they needed someone to go, you'd go. You'd have a good time. I mean,
let's be real. We know all the female listeners, Mandy and Tracy and Lauren and they all, and Crystal, they all, we know.
Donna, don't leave Donna.
And Donna, but I'm just saying, we know. Terry, we know who there's. I think that's it. I think we've capped our
it's
female
a great
quota.
Trip, though. It's the game. It's golf. You're dressed like you're ready for the first tee.
All
so.
Free. You wouldn't go. All free.
I mean, I might.
If there was a 5% chance that he expected.
Nick wants to know if there's two rooms or
saying.
One.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What are the conditions?
One room, separate beds.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No?
I got to have my own room, yeah.
Trey's in the back shaking
I can't do
his
that.
Head.
What if there was just like a 2% chance that he was expecting something?
No. No way.
2%.
No way. It's got to be 0%.
Trey's right. Shaking his head. Like, Trey, do you think anybody would
Trey
seriously
would go
want to share the room with you?
There was a 30% chance that
if
he would
showered,
have
if you showered, you'd leave a red skunk in the drain.
What?
He's got all that hair, dude. If he showered, he's going to be like leaving a drain, A drain rabbit.
A red skunk? Is that like a Cleveland steamer? What is that?
I don't know what that is, but believe me, you're so funny. I know it's going to be something bad.
Was Justin a ranked hall monitor back in school? That's all you, Mike. He wants to know if Justin was a hall monitor.
All you, Mike, is on Justin.
He is. I'm telling you what, I deleted a ton.
That we're not ready for radio listening.
No, Justin lettered in hall monitoring. Okay, I think this is Justin responding. I didn't mean for Barry to stop telling jokes. Just be more surgical with his jokes. But yeah, I guess you're right. Barry's not going to stop telling horrible jokes. It's in his blood. Ah, Justin, you are so good at this.
Justin, if you're not on Facebook, you need to get on.
It's terrible. That's terrible.
At least you got his number. All right, we're going to continue to
roll.
That's
true, I do.
I'm helping here.
Maybe I should tweet it out. I wouldn't do that to you, Justin. I know that you were trying to be constructive until that last text, but I should give his number out. There are quite a few angry people that would like to have his number
right
now.
Can you ask him if he has a manual or some kind of instruction booklet that you could follow to be better suited for the listening audience?
No, I don't care that much about what he has to say.
So, if you heard it right there, we don't care so much, but we're here for you till 4 o'clock. We're going to continue to roll on with the show. We got a lot of good stuff to still get to, so don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects is right around the corner, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
You found it. Houston's home for Aggie sports. ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're in hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects. You can catch it Monday through Friday at this time, 1 to 4 p.m. on ESPN 97.5. Some of you have choices to go other routes, and you'll probably be back, so we don't care. We appreciate you suspects that love us and are loyal to us on a regular basis.
Last night,
yes,
we were just talking about Bill O'Brien showing the emotion of the last interception, I can't blame
him. He was pissed.
And that's great. I want to see him be upset about that because you know what? I don't think anybody else – I think everyone was pissed, but I think everyone else feels like, no, it's Tom Savage. You know,
you hate to use Savage the term gonna Savage going to Savage, but exactly that's exactly what people are conditioned now in this city.
But I think what it showed me – is that he believes that they could still do some things. And so getting that upset, because I think if he felt like everybody else were like, well, it is Tom Savage, he wouldn't have been that emotional. But I think him being that mad about it, because he knows, hey, you can be better than that. You're just not being better than that.
I tend to believe that. Because
that he believes in Tom Savage?
Well, that he believes he could be better. Because, look, he did find D-Hop on a regular basis, consistent basis, and got him the football, which is something Brock Osweiler couldn't do.
That's right.
You know, you look at the ball Fedorovich dropped, which even Gruden said was put in the perfect spot. He was putting some of the balls in the right place. He just makes bad decisions.
Yeah, and Bill O'Brien just met with the media moments ago, and he was kind of pretty much saying basically the same thing you guys were saying.
I don't know. I don't look at it that way, Mark. I really don't. I mean, these are we want Tom to do well. Like, Tom's a good guy. He works hard. He prepares. I mean, nobody can watch the film and say that he hasn't had good moments. I mean, last night, he threw some dimes, you know. But, like, look, like, we can't turn it over. So, you know, we got to stop doing that. Not all of them have been his fault. I want to make that clear. It's not one guy's fault, but that position in this league is a very important position.
I have no problem with anything he said there.
I don't either.
I'm so glad that it wasn't, hey, listen, I've got to do a better job of coaching, and you know they've got to do a better job of playing, and the grass has to do a better job of growing. And I mean, I'm glad to hear him just speak a little more candidly about the team because he is right. Some of those fumbles aren't his fault. You can't be blindsided as a quarterback time and time again and expect him to just hang on to the ball when half the time it's a lookout block when they just yell, look out, because they got past him. You can't expect that. So you can't always blame him for all the turnovers, But that last one was a killer, and that last one was his fault.
Yeah, it really was.
It was absolutely his fault.
And I love the aerial camera from behind the offense.
Because you can see it.
You can see everything. And his two picks were blatantly thrown into double coverage.
Yeah, he's thrown into quadruple coverage several times this year.
Heavy traffic.
Yes.
And now, he just tends to do it. I think when he makes the decision, it's like, oh, it's too late now. I might as well throw and hope for the best. I think that's what it is.
You're
like,
right.
On some throws, not all throws.
No, but you're right. But on the first interception, it was a double crossing route, and the first guy was wide open, and he looked right past him to throw it into the second guy who had two guys on him. And if he had just taken, whether it was his first progression or not, but if he had just thrown that ball first, he probably would have gotten 12, 15 yards out of the play.
And I think that's the difference between what Deshaun Watson does and what he does. You give credit to Watson for making those reads as well, because I think you're right. I think Deshaun Watson probably makes that throw. Remember, there was a play late in the game when they ended up getting a field goal where they were down in the red zone, and it looked like he was going to be sacked, and it ended up being a screen pass. And because the defender ran past him on a fake handoff. And the whole, I mean, we're at Cowboys and Indians, and everyone's like, oh, my God, no. And then he dumps the ball down. We're all just like, oh, God, thank God he didn't see the defender didn't see him. When they showed the replay, Hopkins was wide open in the end zone. So he wasn't even looking downfield. He was just looking to dump the ball down to the running back out in the flat. And my first thought was, I wonder if Deshaun Watson makes that play because his feet allow him to move. He can then look upfield again because he's getting some separation or some space between him and the pass rush. I wonder if he finds Hopkins in the end zone as opposed to Tom Savage. But that's why Tom Savage is a backup, because he misses those types of throws. He misses those reads.
But
he forces the ball in when he's not supposed to. Now, credit to him, on one of those deep balls that he threw to Hopkins on the left side of the field there, he looked the safety off, made the throw. It was a beautiful throw, and he did a great job of looking the safety off like he should have. But he just doesn't do that type of stuff enough.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The one thing that he's convinced me of is the fact that he can be in this league. A couple weeks ago, we were questioning whether he was good enough to even play in the NFL.
He had the worst rating of anyone in the NFL,
He could be a backup in this league, and there's a spot for him. He just has a lot more growing to still do.
I just hope it's not on this team. The other thing that I noticed, Bill O'Brien is wearing glasses now.
Yeah, I think that was an ego thing.
It almost made me think, like, half the time he's been just picking the wrong play because he can't see. So now all of a sudden he's like in the past, before he started wearing glasses, he'd be like, well, why did you throw that ball? He's like, well, that was the play you called. What? Huh? And now he's like, oh, hell, I've been calling the wrong plays half the time.
Yeah, I noticed the glasses too. But
yeah, I noticed them for the first time last night. You know, I was wondering, like, have you been sitting on this? Because if you notice,
hadn't been able to see for half the season.
Like Ed Hockley, he's got a deal where he doesn't want to have his glasses. But when he has to go to the replay,
he's
got
to put them on. I didn't notice that.
The guy who brings out the iPad for the replay also brings out his glasses. Because really when he's done, he folds them up and he gives them back to the runner guy on the sideline with the iPad, and he takes off.
I tell you what, boys, I'm not hating, because I have my glasses because I can't see far away. But I have to take them off to look at my phone half the time because I can't read.
Yeah, I'm worried about you. After your little laser surgery incident, I'm concerned.
Man, it's
I'm walking blind in hallways and stuff. That's crazy.
I'm in bad shape right now. I'm in like
no,
I'm,
I feel it too. Man.
It's like, I'll put it this way. Thing. It's a good thing I'm not a young kid that uses his phone for porn, because there's no way I could like arms reach, you know, put it at arm's length and try to. That's not sexy. You can't make that work.
So I'm in bad shape.
It's a big screen Chromecast, baby. Got to Chromecast that to the TV. Let's be smart around here if we're going to do it. Let's do it right.
Yeah. Like jokes. Do them.
Stop it.
All right. Right now, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at Window World. I'm a huge fan of Window World Houston, because not only do they provide a premium quality replacement window at a great price, but their energy saving windows are made right here in the US of A. And they carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, which just is an added bonus of extra assurance for you that you're getting a quality product that's going to last a long time. Window World has become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and a low price that starts at just $189 a window, plus $45 for solar zone low E, which meets all Texas energy regulations. What's the first step to reducing your energy bills? Just call Window World. They're going to schedule a free written estimate for you. They're going to come to your house at no charge to you. They're going to do it when you have time, and they're going to look at your house and look at your windows and tell you where they could help, where you could make some changes that could possibly lower your energy bills and upgrade the value of your house by adding a very modern, very clean-looking window to your structure. And basically, then they're going to go away. There's no hassles or high pressure. It's up to you to call them back and say, hey, I like what you had to say. The estimate makes sense. Let's do this. Then they'll come back. They're not going to hammer you. They're not going to bug you. They're not going to stay on you. They appreciate you at least taking the time to give them an opportunity. And then it's on you. Because if you want to make a difference on your energy bills from month to month and you want to upgrade the value of your house, you'll call the people at Window World Houston and you'll realize what a difference they can make. Give them a call, 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We are back for the second half of the big show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go as we continue to roll on. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. We are the usual suspects, but so are you, because that's why you make the show special. You make it go by calling, texting, tweeting, and that's what you can do. As most of you, I will say most of you today, are extremely positive and participatory, and others of you, well, you might be just a little critical.
Oh, it's all right. I'm a big boy. I know what I was getting into.
I mean, with that diet.
Hey, you shut. I am so fat. I had to get out the fat shirts.
Just because I knew you were going
to. I had to get the fat shirts out. I was like, boy. Well, not only did I come back at 191, then I had Cowboys and Indians last night. I woke up at 193. I gained 2 pounds yesterday at Cowboys and Indians. That's how much food I ate.
But isn't that what you're supposed to do during the Thanksgiving holidays?
Yeah, but that's over.
Well, you did say 191. You boosted it by two.
Yeah.
You ate chicken fried steak and half a burger last night?
And cake. And
wait, where'd the cake come in?
Yeah, I got the red velvet at the end.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah, and then one of the guys that was at our table was like, I don't know what dessert to. And before he even found, I was like, red velvet cake! Get that red velvet cake. And then he got it. He's like, man, good call. This is good stuff. Like, yeah, when I walk in to Cowboys and Indians, there's a couple things that take place right away. If I'm with you guys, immediately they start making quesadillas. No matter who I'm with, they start making the veggie samosas for me. What are they called? Yeah, samosas.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to a battle of what am I going to get? But they also know when I'm finished, they bring me red velvet cake. I can't leave without eating that. It's good. But it's only supposed to be for the 4 days. And it's not like, you know those people that are like, well, it's my birthday week.
Yeah.
Or, oh, it's my birthday month. No, you selfish a-hole. That's not how birthdays. It's a birthday, not a birth week, not a birth month. You don't get to celebrate all week and make people buy you stuff and take you to dinner 7 days in a row.
Free drinks.
A birthday. I can't stand that when people are like, well, it's my birthday week. What are we doing all week? Well, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm not doing anything until it's your birthday.
And then you're not doing anything anyway.
Selfish, yeah. Then I'm not. I don't like the. You ever have those people at work that did the dollar bills down their shirt?
Yeah, that's annoying.
That's fine in high school, but we don't need to. We're all adults now. Let's not be walking around the office pinning dollar bills on each other. It's a little.
I never
much.
Got that either, but a lot of people still do it.
I know adults
it's still very.
And
common.
There's no
so
reason
what you do
to
is
do
when
that.
You pin the dollar. You go in a little deeper. Yeah, you get a little skin and you go, oops, sorry, didn't mean to do that.
Like the Marines when they get the pin at the end. Yeah. I think, isn't it the Marines where they'll take a pin and just shove it in their chest?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Slap it around. That
was hoping that WWE
violent.
Someone would slam something else in your chest. But I'm just saying from a safety pin standpoint, that's what you do. You say, you know what?
Yeah.
It's a pretty tired ass game you got going in a pretty bad way to try and make a couple extra bucks. Here, boop, there's a little poke
what
for
if,
you.
What if she got like fake boobs and the silicone pops back and hits you in the eye?
That's true. It squirt like she starts leaking right there.
Yeah. It's not gonna cost a dollar to fix, honey. Sorry.
It is more women than men that do that though.
It is, because I tend to
it's
say it, honestly.
It's usually Tammy, right, in accounting? That dumb bitch, she's always doing stuff.
You killed Tammy in accounting.
Tammy in accounting,
she's calling
whoever
that.
She is, I know.
Tammy is real. in Barry's world.
She is. She's very real. Anything that I want to blame on a woman, I just blame it on Tammy in accounting. I really do. And I don't think I've ever met a woman named Tammy that worked in accounting. I don't know where that came from, but it just has stuck. But yeah, I don't like that. It's the same complaint that I have about Black Friday being all week or all month. You hear these businesses, well, enjoy Black Friday savings all month, or Cyber. Amazon is doing Cyber Monday week. That's not how a day works. Cyber Monday is a day. Just call it Cyber Week. Like, just have deals all week or something.
Or if it's going to be all week, make the deals better than you could get during the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Not the same old crap.
I'm with you.
You know, give me some deals.
I got a good deal yesterday. Did you get any? Did you buy anything?
I did not. I bought nothing.
So I was talking to Jordan, those guys at Cowboys and Indians, and we were talking about what they could get. And apparently you could get a good deal on the Ancestry.com DNA tests. You could get them for like half price. Have either of you done those, by the way?
I know what you're talking about, but no, I've never done it.
Oh, Nora and I did it.
You can't find, I mean, my list would be like 1,000 different countries of origin.
I need history. To find mine, in fact. I'll read it on here if I can find it. But I was surprised. I thought I would.
It's easy. African-American, Jewish. I mean, other than that, there's like maybe one or two others, right?
Yeah, I did think I would have more African. Nope.
No.
I told Nora, I was like, watch, I bet I'm like 15% African. It's like 1%. I was like, well, then what? That explains nothing about my existence anymore. I don't get it. I'm going to find mine. But yeah, you could get that on sale at Amazon. I got a Nest. Yeah, I got a Nest, which is normally $250.
Hey, you told us yesterday.
Got it for $170. Yeah. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
But that's
you
about.
You buy anything?
You bought a Nest?
He told us yesterday on the air.
Oh.
Yeah, the home
not a toilet seat
like
cover
a bird's
nest.
Like
no.
Okay.
Like the home AC control thing.
Yeah, I didn't buy anything. I wanted to go on Amazon, but I didn't. I'm too lazy. I just hate shopping. I really need a TV.
You need some new clothes.
I need some clothes.
Wow, he looks like he's going on tour right now.
Touring what?
Golf.
A war-torn country?
He's got golf slacks on.
I don't have golf slacks on.
They're close.
They're not golf slacks.
Okay.
What are they?
That's not a bad thing,
chinos?
Nick. It's a compliment.
What are they? Dockers.
They're Dockers. That's golf slacks.
Yeah, they are golf slacks.
Why do you wear Dockers? Are you just an old-ass man? Yeah. Are you just old already?
How do you even wear jeans?
There's some Dockers with some style. I mean, you got...
Yeah.
It's not like it's old man pants.
Khakis. Just wearing khakis.
Yeah, well, don't you wear like jeans like everybody else?
I wear jeans.
Are you trying to show off? Like, are you trying
no,
to be like,
you,
look how
important I am? Are you moonlighting on us? Was there something else going on that you're dressed up today?
You're the one that's got
yeah.
more. No, there's no reason at all.
Okay.
Are you working on a better show?
No.
That's not possible.
That is definitely
well,
not possible.
Let's slow down a little. I don't know about that. Damn it, I can't find the Ancestry.com thing. El Jefe had Joshua had a great point about Bill O'Brien and his glasses. He likened it to Ricky Vaughn in Major League. Once he gets his glasses and starts pitching better, I do feel like he called a better game.
I do too.
Okay.
Because actually the runs he was calling were actually timely and they actually got yards.
Yeah.
As opposed to
you could see the clock.
First
clock
and
management
second down, just run it
there.
Up the center's ass twice.
Clock management's a great one.
Yeah, let's go 3rd and 9.5. Because he ran it up the center's ass twice.
I mean, new glasses, but he didn't see that fake punt coming. That's those. So maybe
I'm gonna
he needs
tell
to
you
have
what,
those.
Though, that was a pretty sweet pass.
Pretty slick.
Yeah,
it was a better pass than Flacco threw all night.
Yep. Well, Gruden said that. He goes, I remember from the Baltimore teams of the past, they always went with the vertical game, and they always had a couple of shots down the field. He goes, well, the best one I've seen tonight is by the punter, and he was right. Because the punter basically he looked at the 20-yard line and said, I'm throwing it there and letting him go get it, and he did. So that was a pretty ballsy call. 4th and 1 was a pretty good call, too.
Yeah, the bootleg?
Yep. No, it wasn't a bootleg. It was a pitch out
around
the edge.
But towards the end of the game, they had Flacco run a bootleg, a naked boot, yep. and he ran for a while. And Gruden said, I think that was all Joe Flacco right there. I think he just did that on his own. And then you could see Harbaugh talk to his OC, and he was like, great call. You could see him mouth the words. What's his name? Chucky's like, maybe not. Like, maybe that was a call already. All right. Yeah. Who's letting Flacco get out there and run around? Could you imagine if you'd have got popped?
Because the one I thought he was going to get, they were going to throw the penalty on the Texans for, which was a clean, legitimate hit. He was so slow getting to the sideline that he took a nice shot and landed on his ass. And I thought, oh, God, they're going to throw the flag because he hit the ground, and it was a clean hit, and thankfully they did not.
Yeah, that would have been bad, but they got lucky. Overall, though, I mean, we know that the Texans aren't making the playoffs for sure now. At four, what are they?
Well, the
four
Browns are for sure. They're the only one for sure, for sure. But yeah, okay. I mean, for all intensive purposes, Barry. Yeah.
Let's look at the schedule, and then we can be for sure. Because
there was some article where like there was like 73 things that had to happen for the Texans to make it. Did you see that? It was like
no, but I'm surprised that it's only 73.
Yeah, it was like so many crazy variables. It's not gonna happen.
So they go on the road next. To play the Titans, that's a loss. They're not beating the Titans.
On the road is tough.
And then they come home for the Niners, so they're going to win that game. That'll put them at 5-8 with three games to go. Then they go on the road to play Jacksonville. They're not probably winning that game either. That defense against this offense, I don't like their chances. So that puts them at 5-9. I mean, they're not, even if they win, even if they beat the Steelers and the Colts, they're not getting in at 7-9. They have to win out at 9-7 and then have 74 other things happen. So that means they have to beat the Titans, the Niners, the Jags, the Steelers, and the Colts. They're not beating the Steelers. So you could that's 8-8
that's
right
they're
there.
Not winning.
They'll probably beat the Colts.
Maybe. They never play well in Indy on the road. They lost to the Colts already.
The Niners getting better, but I still think this is a different Tom Savage, even though it's not great. At least they're moving the football and finding Hopkins and getting a running game. But
they've lost to the Colts once. They've lost to the Jags once. That was Tom Savage for half a game
too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They never play well in Indy. They've already lost to the Jags with Tom Savage for at least a half to begin with. The Titans, they're not beating the Titans. And when they did beat the Titans, they had Deshaun Watson. So this. They'll be lucky to win six games, I think. That means they've got to win two of their last five. And I don't know that they can. I feel like they'll beat the Niners. The rest, the only one that I think is maybe close to a coin flip would be the Colts. But the Titans, Jags, and Steelers, no, that's not happening. That's a 10-loss season already.
Yeah.
I
would say for all intents and purposes, they're done.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of entertainment to watch because you just love football.
I'm just glad that I don't have to do another appearance for a football game because it's not fun when the team's not good. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I really thought you should have stopped at the Rockets game first and then popped over there.
Yeah, I'd like to, but I can't get in.
Oh, that's right. You don't have a pass.
Rub it in, Joel. Sorry. Rub it in.
Sorry. Salt, meat, wound. Okay, we're going to continue to roll on. We'll take a break. We got much more to go on the big show. We've got lots of things to get to. And if there's something on your mind or you want to get off your chest, give us a call. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. Yeah, why not? You can even send us a tweet. And we may even use it on the air if it's good, like a lot of you guys have been participating today. And we appreciate that. Back with a whole lot more. ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, we continue to move it before we lose it. Having some good fun today, talking about a lot of things, sportsy and otherwise. I want to take a minute, if I can, because I didn't do it yesterday, and that's my bad. But I do want to mention, because there's a lot of love pouring out on the internet, I lost a dear friend this weekend, and a lot of you know him. There was no one that did more for me to get me into the positions that I've been in professionally in my career than Steve Snapper Jones. He did the NBA on NBC for years. He did the Olympics. He was the longtime color analyst for the Portland Trailblazers. And when I was a punk kid trying to be an intern in my first gig out of college, he took me under his wing and he showed me the ropes. And he later moved to Houston and we talked at least once a month when he kept up with, he listens to the show. He listened to the show. He did He knew everything that I was doing, and he was always there. He was there to kick me in the ass as well as give me encouragement, and he's gone way too soon, but he was dealing with some health problems. So I just wanted to say, rest in peace, Snapper. You're going to be missed by a lot of people. So I just wanted to get that out.
My condolences, man.
Appreciate
Sounds like
that.
A good dude.
Yeah, really, really good dude.
So. I think everybody in this business gets a hand from somebody.
Yeah.
Or gets help from somebody. And when you do that, you feel like you, especially with the longevity that you've had, I mean, you Portland and the Rockets and now this, and, you know, you don't get that first step. You don't get that first hand up. Who knows? You may never have gotten the opportunity. So,
and at that time, that you look at him and you knew he was on national TV and everything. But the thing that – one thing was great to me is you see all the messages on Facebook and stuff as people are sending their condolences. But he took so many – he took the time. He was on NBC. He was a big-time announcer. He and Bill Walton and Bob Costas. But yet he took the time. So many people said he took me under his wing. He helped me out. And the other thing that kind of fits what we were talking about is he gave everyone a nickname. And you weren't in with Steve unless you had a nickname. And a lot of them weren't politically correct and didn't care. But at the same time, you know, there was all we knew that it was all fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had a nickname from Snapper, then you knew you were in and that he really cared about you and he wanted you to do well. And he's just one of those guys that it's been really neat. Facebook is beautiful for that reason alone. So many people with so many tributes that you're like, you know what? That's the Snapper I knew, and that's a guy that touched a lot of people, you know, the right way and helped them with their career. So that was cool. And his mom, I guess, is 93 and still lives here. So he had relocated to Houston because his wife was from here. So he's got family in Houston as well. But we'll miss Snapper.
What was your nickname?
You'll love this. When it first started, which I make no secret of, he started with Blockhead.
Okay.
And then
I can see that.
And then he changed it to Cheesehead. And back then I had a flat top. So Blockhead was easy. And then when he found out I was from Wisconsin, I was Cheesehead. And I was always Cheesehead or Cheese. But for the most part, every call started with Kid. Which now feels great. But I mean, no matter where I was in my career professionally or whenever he reached out to call me, it wasn't hello, it was Kid. And then it was like basically something that had gotten that he needed to tell me that I needed to do differently or I needed to kind of pick it up and move it out a little bit. But yeah,
now, a lot of people like Justin will call and give you feedback and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But when a guy like that calls you and says, hey, you need to work on this.
Yeah.
That you take to heart. I mean, you really listen to that, right? Because it's one thing
no doubt
to get feedback from listeners, but when you got a guy that does it, that's a whole different thing. Because that's usually the more constructive things to work on.
Now, he did a lot, and he did a lot of that for me, and mm-hmm. he was that voice of reason that you had to listen to. But I'll give you guys, as listeners, so I don't bore you, with a story that was vintage Steve Jones. He was doing the playoffs when the Rockets were playing the Spurs, and it was him and Costas and Bill Walton. And at that point, I was producing, so I was in the truck. And I came flying out of the truck right before halftime, and I was red in the face, brow down, and I was hell-bent that I was going to get to Bill Walton and tell him to shut the hell up because he had spent, like, the entire series killing Olajuwon and saying how David Robinson was dominating. And throw it down, big man. Robinson was just absolutely dominating Hakeem Olajuwon. No chance in the middle tonight. And I'm furious. I'm like, all right, I've had enough of being professional. This guy doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. And Snapper grabbed me by the arm as he was taking a break for halftime. And he's like, Kid, where are you going? And I'm like, man, I've had it up with I'm going at Walton. And he goes, you know what, Kid? Sit down and realize something. Every single thing that ever comes out of that guy's mouth, the opposite almost always happens. He goes, part of our deal is our shtick where I take the other side. And it's easy because he takes the stupid side of things and I get to annihilate him on the air. He goes,
kind of like us.
Yeah, he goes, just watch. It's going to happen and you're going to be fine and don't do this. And I put tail between legs, and not that I wanted to, begrudgingly, I went back in the truck, and lo and behold, they won the game and ended up winning the series. And it was just one of those moments where, you know, it was neat that he was actually there to stop me from doing something I probably would have regretted later, but I was pretty hell-bent at the time on telling Bill Walton he was an ass clown.
Nice. Yeah, and plus, Walton might have punched you.
Nah, he would have had a tie-dye T-shirt and a Grateful Dead concert.
You don't think would you have fought him if he wanted to fight you? You went over there and said something?
I'd just kick him in the foot and take his knees out.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
Yeah,
that's cool, man. That's a good – I don't know that I have anything like that. I have that in comedy. I have mentors.
I thought about that with you. I thought that there had to be the same kind of thing with comedy.
One of mine has already passed. Ed Blake was a guy that gave me my first road gig. And if it wasn't for Ed, I probably wouldn't have stayed in comedy because I was just frustrated and ready to quit. And he's the one that talked me into it. And by taking me on the road and teaching me how to become a better comic, teaching me how to the business side of it, and, you know, holding me to a certain standard, because I would write a joke and I'd be so proud of the joke. And I would hit the stage at an open mic and I would do the joke. And then I would get off stage and it would get big laughs and I'd come off stage and he'd be mad. Was that the first thing you thought of for the punchline? Like, yeah, I wrote the joke. That was the punchline I came up with. No, you got to write 10 more because that's not the best punchline you can have for that joke. It was like, damn, dude, I just got like a great laugh on that. Nope, you got to write 10 more punchlines. And so, I mean, you get those guys that's the kind of stuff that you don't want just somebody to give you a joke.
Right.
He would hold me to a higher standard or make me be better.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a huge difference. He's,
you know, he listened to our show, but he listened to me doing Rockets games. The compliments came last, but the first thing was,
yes.
But the first thing, when that's the beauty of a mentor, because they can do that.
Yep.
But the first thing was, hey, second quarter last night, you made this comment. Really? I think you should have probably posed it like this, because then you could have opened up for dialogue from your play-by-play guy and also wouldn't have been quite so direct for your own team, because you know management's going to be calling you or emailing you at some point today. And when you sit back and look at it, you're like,
damn,
you know what, man? He was smart. Spot on, dead right.
Yeah, it's invaluable, man. You can't beat that. Okay, I found my DNA profile. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Herpes. Gonorrhea. Oh, no.
Yes, okay. I'm from the country of gonorrhea. Yeah, I am. That's where most of my family comes from.
The colony of herpes.
Yes, we are gonorrhean, mostly. there's pockets of us all over. No, so my ethnicity estimate breakdown is as follows. 40% Europe West, which is Belgium, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and Liechtenstein. Yes. So that's my breakdown. And I kind of knew that, like, because Laminack is German. Yeah. So I kind of knew I was from that region. Second is Scandinavia at 14%, Sweden, Norway, Denmark. So I am 54% Western European and Scandinavian. Then there's the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal. What the hell?
The Iberian?
Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
Nick took geography.
That was 13%. Europe East, 12%. So that's Poland, the Czech Republic, you know, Romania, stuff like that. Ireland, Scotland, Wales, 11%. Great Britain, 5%. And then that was all the ones that they're pretty confident that they know about. So Southern Europe, 2%. Native American, less than 1%. The Caucasus, less than 1%. And North Africa, 1%.
And you paid for this information?
Yeah.
But it was on the wife was on sale.
No, the wife paid for it.
It was on sale.
And then what's cool about it, though, is they give you a map of how your ancestors migrated here and when. So, like, in the 1700s, they show the bulk of my family went to North Alabama and the southern states.
Really?
Yeah. And then that's true. There are a lot of Laminacs in Alabama. And then they kind of migrated west to Texas and Oklahoma. And there are a lot of Laminacs in Oklahoma. So, yeah. Huh. I would have thought I would have had a lot more African than 1%. Be honest with you. Just, I don't know.
A lot of listeners did, too.
Yeah, I think most people would have guessed like 90%.
A lot of them thought you were gearing up for Hanukkah.
That's true.
Just throwing it out there.
That is true. I get it. I know why.
All right, the music plays, and I look at the clock, and I know that, hey, it's 2 in the books, 1 to go. One more hour of the show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz. So we got plenty of time still on the clock if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can tweet, and we'll be here for you as we always are Monday through Friday right here on ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save.